Friday, everybody, and welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for John today. He will be back on Monday. There's lots of news today. We've got unemployment and numbers and the Dow and all kinds of things. We've got Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst for Bankrate.com with us to break it all down like he normally does. Hey, Mark.
During this cognitive overload Friday, Elise.
Yes, that is a great way of putting it. My brain hurts between the voting and the stock market and the unemployment numbers. It is totally an overload of numbers. What are you seeing out there? Let's maybe start with yesterday's unemployment numbers, first-time unemployment claims, and also were there PUA numbers also that were released?
Yeah, that report, I think, was largely in line with expectations. On the headline, we saw the slightest of declines, helped by the fact that the previous week had a revision upward, meaning, you know, you only slipped by the skin of your teeth, so to speak. So 751,000 new jobless claims. The program that you referenced there, by virtue of the CARES Act, saw another 363,000. That was up by 4,000 on the week. And you sort of want to look at the broader picture, I think, here, where there's a total of 21.5 million people on some form of unemployment assistance. And then, as you mentioned going into the break, on the national versus state and local unemployment rates, you know, Chicago and Illinois have been running about 2% higher than the national figures. And obviously this morning we got an update on October employment and unemployment for the nation. It'll be a while yet before we get the updated figures for Chicago and Illinois. But, you know, I think people want to know sort of what the takeaways are on all this with respect to the economy. And I think, you know, essentially we can say that the recovery is continuing. We have now restored or recovered more than half of the 22 million jobs lost in March and April, but we still have about 10 million yet to go. And that's a lot. You know, you think about the fact that during normal times we'd be averaging about 250,000 jobs a month. Here in the latest month, we recovered 638,000 total. Of those, we have to count the loss of some government jobs. And so private payrolls expanded at a healthier clip of 942,000, which was higher than the month before. But because we gave some back in government, then that headline number doesn't look quite as robust.
Well, Mark, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the slowdown that seems to be happening in terms of job creation, and with the number of COVID cases off the charts, rising at record paces. I know that we're going to have, a further slowdown ahead of us. Welcome back, everybody, to the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's 17 past the hour. Mark Hamrick from Bankrate. He is the Washington Bureau Chief. He joins us every Friday. Mark, so glad you were able to stay with us. I wanted to talk about the slowing economy and what the rise in COVID cases, well, what do you think the rise in COVID cases is going to mean to economic forces going forward?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think it's a reminder that what we really need is the availability of safe and effective vaccines. And I also think back to the summer, as, you know, we've been tracking all this really for 33 weeks now because I keep with, and because, you know, otherwise I'd forget what year it is right now. And, and I think back about the summer when we saw what some people might have described then as a second wave. And the reality is that we really didn't have the slowdown that people thought would occur then, not certainly to the extent. But obviously we see a horse of a different color now, to the extent that these coronavirus cases are really spiking. And I do think that that probably is serving as a reminder to a number of consumers and workers that maybe they should exert more caution rather than less or even the same. And so, you know, I feel like that is, you know, sort of a almost like a billboard to people. It's like, hey, it's not yet time to get on airplanes or to fly to Walt Disney World and the likes, you know, just to use sort of very palpable examples. And so it's clearly a risk. But I would say it's balanced by the fact that obviously the treatment of COVID is much better now than it was before, less of a death sentence than it was before. And the other part is that I think there's now a very real prospect that a Congress will pass some stimulus legislation, or at least an improved prospect, even during the lame duck session. The majority leader, he's still majority leader for now, Mitch McConnell, indicates that's the first order of business when members of the Senate return next week. There'll still be a lot of daylight between what members of the House and Senate are willing to approve if they do. But that's a positive, and, you know, it remains to be seen what the composition of that legislation would be. So, you know, there's a lot in motion here. But I think, you know, Chairman Powell talked about it yesterday. I was a virtual attendee of that news conference because that's the only way we can do it these days. Essentially everybody can be now, maybe not officially. And I think, you know, he continues to characterize the economy in a similar vein, and that is, you know, a much better progress in the early part of the recovery in the summer. Obviously, we saw that record snapback in GDP, but as of the end of last year, or I should say as of the end of that quarter, we were still 3.5% below GDP from the end of 2019. So it may well be that we have still a contraction for the full year with GDP in our country. But, you know, we're right now, you know, entering the second week of November, meaning a lot of this script is yet to be written for Q4.
So, Mark, here's a question for you. We know that McConnell and Pelosi are talking about the stimulus, right? We know that McConnell has said the first order of business next week is going to be to get to the stimulus and what they're going to do. But if Joe Biden ends up winning this presidency, how fast, if do you think the Republicans will start to clamor about the size of the debt that has grown this year from all of that stimulus? How fast do you think they flip that switch and go from being, let's provide stimulus, to, oh my gosh, the Democrats want more stimulus and it's running up the debt?
That's a great question, and I think the premise is absolutely correct, that even the fact that McConnell's willing to accept it essentially a week after the election is over gives you the proper context, right? In other words, sort of like, we're not really that crazy about it 2 weeks before the election, but now the election's over, we've got the cover of the fact that either we've retained our position or we haven't. I do think it's going to be something to watch is, you know, can McConnell and Biden, if it is Biden, we don't know, kind of looks like it might be, whether they can sort of cater to the middle in a way that McConnell hasn't always seemed to want to gravitate that way, even with President Trump. I mean, he was sort of very much on the sidelines over the last few months when it came to even sort of working on the latest round of legislation.
Well, he's got two diverse, you know, groups of Republicans that are kind of at war with each other, right? You've got those on the very far right that are like, no more debt, no more debt. And then you've got those that are, I won't even call them in the middle, who are saying, no, we still need to help the economy. I mean, he's got his own war on his hands.
Well, I would say, you know, it's family feud to some degree in both parties, right?
Right.
Because you know, even this week there have been some rumblings that the more progressive part of the Democratic Party would like to be done with Schumer and Pelosi in their leadership positions.
Sure.
And so that means that, you know, it's an even wider gulf, right? Because, you know, essentially you have those who do tend to advocate a much more progressive, quote-unquote, position, and then you have those that are sort of the Tea Party genealogy that says all government is bad and all government spending is even worse. And the reality is we need government for certain things, including how to keep airplanes in the air
and manage,
you know, air traffic control. Yeah, and exactly. So the medical response, and so I do think you're absolutely right, and it may be that switch is flipped and exacerbated if Biden is the winner. But, you know, let's see. I mean, let's just see, because I think as Americans we want to be optimistic, even if sometimes we're disappointed. We did see in the early stages of this year through the four rounds of legislation capped by the CARES Act that there was essentially majorities on both sides, meaning the parties and in the chambers, that were willing to put the needs of the country ahead of their party affiliations. And, you know, will that last for a little while here after the election's behind? It's worth perhaps one of my prayers every day, I think.
So one of the things that always has contributed on a larger macroeconomic level has been the housing market, the housing economy, whether you're building new construction of, you know, multifamily rentals, apartments, houses, single-family houses, has always been there, you know, along with renovation. And to, as I recall, it is in a normal, nothing's normal anymore, but in sort of a more regular year, you would see housing contribute as much as 5 to 6% of the overall economy. Now, we're seeing a very strong housing market. You know, when you look out at whether it's going to be sort of hospitality and travel as an industry that's going to come back, and we saw the hospitality and jobs numbers really jump this last week, rather this month, or it's going to be housing. Where do you expect the big numbers to come from in terms of job creation?
Well, first of all, you know, absolutely, it's the case that you only have record low interest rates, record low mortgage rates, and that's one of the essentially outliers in the so-called K-shaped recovery, where some people are doing great or good, and some people are obviously struggling mightily. And we've had the unique COVID aspects or the pandemic-related aspects that have compelled some people to seek housing in less densely populated areas, or it's like, hey, we actually need an extra bedroom so we all don't yell at each other during Zoom meetings or you know, schooling via computer. I think that, you know, look at where the deficits are right now. And so, where we've seen spending on, goods essentially go back to pre-pandemic levels, spending on services is still, you know, maybe 33% below. And we know that part of that is certainly, you know, entertainment and aspects of leisure and hospitality and travel, but also medical services. You know, people have, even while they may have sought care for, you know, something related to COVID, you know, in the early part of this, a lot of either elective procedures or even dental offices were just off limits. So that took a bite out of that. You know, I never thought I'd know dentists who'd be asking for money, but that was essentially
right.
Their situation. But you know, and barbers and beauty salons the same. So a lot of spending on services has had to take a break, and I think we'll see that once things get safer and travel the same. And people in the airline industry think that the leisure component of airline travel will be first, business travel will be second. So I think, you know, it's just all about trying to get back to a situation where we're not scared, you know, about contracting the disease in the way that we are at present or 6 months ago. And the housing market will still be important because it looks like interest rates are going to be low for some time. That could change, but and obviously Mr. Powell thinks so. And as you know better than anybody else, Elise, there's a shortage of housing inventory, especially in the existing homes space. So that could help lead the way.
No, that will too. And certainly, Mark, I'm going to miss seeing you at our annual business journalism conference coming up in a couple of weeks because we are not getting on airplanes and it's all going to be virtual. Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst for Bankrate.com. Always a pleasure to spend some time with you on a Friday morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
The great pleasure is mine, Elise. Take good care, and thanks so much.
Thank you. I will. You do the same. You know, every time I hear this theme song, I laugh because this was my theme song when I used to fill in with Clark Howard, the syndicated consumer guy down at WSB in Atlanta. This is his sort of, you know, Clarkish theme song. So I would fill in for him, and this would be the song that would come up. Anyway, Pete Zimmerman, our producer today, thank you very much for that little memory. So, you know, a couple of news stories. We've got, you know, a few minutes until we talk with Jared Mellman, who's the executive partner, an executive partner with Let Us Entertain You. We're going to talk about sort of holiday ordering. So if you can't go out and you can't have people in, maybe you just want to order in Thanksgiving and Christmas, at least the dinner part of it. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But until then, happy to take some of your questions if you've got a quick one, 312-981-7200 about money. Always happy to do that. You can always send me a question, by the way, at thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. That's my website that has literally 12,000 pieces of free information, questions and answers that I have answered since that website went live back like 22 years ago when websites, I think you had to literally lift them with your hands onto the internet. That's how old it is. But anyway, if I can answer questions for you there, or if you want to, you know, search there for questions about mortgages and financing and investments and all that, you can go there. Or you can call us now or text us, and Pete will tell me what your texts say. So, in the meantime, while we're waiting for people to call or not call, I thought I'd run through a couple of stories that came out today that are separate from what's going on with the election and the Dow, which is kind of a low trading mix day right now. Starbucks kicked off the season revealing its lineup of cups. So you'll remember that 4 years ago, there was a whole thing about how Starbucks took the words Merry Christmas off of their cups. So, and they just went with red cups, which I actually thought were kind of nice. But now they have two cups that say Carry the Merry. Last year's was Merry Coffee, which I think is actually kind of cute. And so they've got their reusable cups that you can do. It's interesting. I walk up Michigan Avenue from where I park my car to go to the studio. And in addition to seeing all of the boarding up that's going on, which isn't, we could just spend an hour talking about how sad that is for all the retailers and actually people, it's so disheartening to walk on Michigan Avenue, which is for my whole life been a place that I've had such joy, especially now this time of year with holiday shopping. Boy, I mean, I loved seeing all the window displays. I, you know, as a kid, who didn't go down to Marshall Fields for the Christmas windows and get lucky enough to go up to the Walnut Room maybe for lunch? Or if you didn't go there, you know, there were all kinds of places that, you know, my mom used to take us and my grandmother, and we would have this, you know, thing of going down and looking at all the holiday windows. And I have to tell you, I really miss it, particularly this time of year where, you know, you look forward to kind of seeing the decorations and the lighting of the lights. Who knows if they'll even do lighting of the lights this year on Michigan Avenue? I think we'll just have to hope for the best, right? But anyway, it was sad to see all those stores boarded up. And even as I was walking this morning up to the station, I was walking on Michigan Avenue about 7:30. I was very heartened to see, on the other hand, that every single person I passed was wearing a mask. I mean, there weren't all that many people out there today, but all of them were masked up, and it was, I'm glad people are taking this seriously and are trying to stay safe because, you know, I mentioned yesterday that the circle is closing. Like, I know more and more people who have tested positive, who are sick. We know more people who have died from COVID. I really want everybody to be able to stay safe enough to enjoy the holiday. So anyway, long way of saying Starbucks kicked things off, and if you want to go see their pretty cups, you can go and get a Starbucks. Hershey sales are up, so it turns out that one of the things we are doing when we're staying home is we're building fires. Hopefully we're doing them in a fireplace. I'm not just lighting the woods on fire, but Hershey's Chocolate announced that their sales were higher and people were actually getting outside and making s'mores. And there's a spike in certain U.S. zip codes that have high concentrations of COVID cases. And in those zip codes, the demand for milk chocolate bars has spiked between 40 and 50%. So they figured out, you know, they're staying at home and they're making s'mores because that's fun. At least for kids, it's like something a little bit normal. So anyway, it's, you know, nice to see. And then finally, we've got some grocery stores that are limiting toilet paper and disinfectants of wipes. Sadly, what we're seeing is that there's just a disconnect between the amount that we're making and the amount that we're buying and where we're buying it, when we're buying it. I could give you a long explanation of how toilet paper comes in these massive rolls that are the size of the boats that you see basically on, you know, the on the Chicago River. Well, maybe about half as big as those boats, you know, but really the answer is that when you're busy as a factory making things for a commercial market, like say hotels or, you know, restaurants, and now you have to make it for the home consumer market, it takes a while to shift everything, and that's what seems to be happening again with toilet paper and disinfectant wipes, particularly in zip codes where the infection rate is going up. All right, 312-981-7200 is our number. Here's Steve Grzanich with the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Cook County commercial property owners in the south and west suburbs could face higher property tax bills next year, while homeowners will bear less of the burden. The Cook County Assessor's Office has assessed all non-residential property in the south and west suburbs at $5.25 billion, up 56% from 2019. Data from the Assessor's Office reviewed by Cranes shows the total assessed value of residential real estate in the suburbs rose 8% to $8.42 billion. Chicago startup Styx Golf wants to become the Harry's Razors of golf clubs by bringing golfers quality clubs at more reasonable prices. The company is a direct-to-consumer golf club brand aimed at millennials that focuses on design and quality. Chicago Inno says the startup's all-black 12-piece set of clubs cost $799, allowing golfers to upgrade from their beginner set of clubs without having to spend thousands of dollars on a brand-name set. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
It's Elise Link sitting in for John Williams today on the Wintrust Business Lunch. So glad that you can join us. We've got Jared Melman on the line. He's executive partner of Let Us Entertain You Enterprises, of the famous Let Us Entertain You restaurants. Jared, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Well, it's nice to have you on. I wish we were talking about new restaurants that were opening up, that and other things like that. But instead, I've been seeing a lot of ads for your different restaurants that are offering to bring in Thanksgiving feasts or Christmas feasts. And, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, the perspective of the company and how you're trying to keep these restaurants afloat.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we're all in uncharted waters here, but, you know, Thanksgiving is still one of our favorite times of the year and has been a holiday that I think increasingly people turn to restaurants for as people, you know, want to cook less and want to clean up their mess from dinner less. I think restaurants have become a better and better option. And this year, we're really excited about all of our carryout offerings, both, you know, family-sized meals and kind of individual meals as well as like dessert offerings and appetizer offerings. So, you know, whatever your plans are, I think we have options that, you know, can help make your Thanksgiving meal that much better.
What I like about what's going on with takeout is at the beginning of the pandemic, I think restaurants were just almost like in a state of shock, right?
This all of us were probably, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was unthinkable that we would be literally shutting down the economy and you couldn't go to a restaurant.
Sure.
I mean, for my friends who, you know, basically downsized to move back to the city so they could walk to all their favorite restaurants, you know, suddenly
sure,
9 months later and nothing's still open and you can't go to the theater and you can't go to concerts. I mean, just, it was completely unthinkable, and I think all of us can't wait to get 2020 in the rearview mirror. But at the beginning, when restaurants started doing takeout, I found the experience to be so unsatisfying and uneven because they weren't used to doing that kind of takeout, and I wasn't used to what I would get. I was thinking I was going to get what I got when I went to a restaurant.
Sure.
So this is the first major holiday that we have, Thanksgiving coming up. And I've just seen restaurants get better and better for the most part. Not every experience is fantastic, I have to say, but for the most part, better and better at both how they think about the delivery of the meals, how they price it, and what they pack into it, and then literally how they pack the meals so when you get it, you can make it feel as homey as possible. And since Thanksgiving is one of those holidays where you just want the smell of the turkey in the air or you want
sure
to have that, Tell me how you plan to, with all your different restaurants and the different permutations, you know, just some of the essentials on delivering that experience.
Yeah. Well, you know, to your point, and we saw this early on, our restaurants that had robust carryout business prior to the pandemic really had an advantage over restaurants that maybe didn't make that as big a part of their focus. And so to that point, we have been doing Thanksgiving meals for, I don't know, in some locations, like some of our wildfires, maybe the last 10 years.
Sure.
So I think this fortunately isn't our first time doing these big Thanksgiving meals to go. So we've really had a number of years to work on the packaging and to really sort of play around with how it travels and how we pack it up. So I think that I'm thinking about Bub City, for example, and we've really gotten it down to a science. Last year, I think we sold 100 family meal kits, and they just were really beautifully packaged in these wonderful boxes, and we served smoked white meat and deep-fried dark meat, and it's just really delicious and had all the fixings. So, you know, it's something that we've been working on for many years, you know, prior to the pandemic even.
So I have to just admit that my very favorite pie, I think, in the entire city of Chicago is Shaw's Raspberry Pie. Just going to say it's
funny.
Yeah, why is
that's
that?
That's my girlfriend's favorite dessert. All the desserts we serve around the entire country, that is the one that she'll send me a text, please bring home Raspberry Pie. So
right?
I'm with you.
I don't know what it is about that pie, but I love it, and it's what we always get in the summer for my birthday, and my son gets it for his birthday in August, September. But, you know, I know that that's not a pie that's like a Thanksgiving-y sort of pie. So I know that you've got a whole bunch of pies that you do. You guys do pies very well, you know, and that's such a part of the Thanksgiving tradition, are, you know, a variety of pies, whether you're a pecan pie or a pumpkin pie person. Tell me a little bit about different pies that you're offering this year.
Yeah, so, well, you know, about the raspberry pie, I think this year is all about just comforts. So if raspberry pie makes you comfortable, I think you should have raspberry pie on Thanksgiving. But Shaw's also has an awesome pecan pie. Beatrix is doing whole pies to go. RPM Steak is doing whole pies and cakes. Joe's Stone Crab, you know, famous for their key lime pie. They're doing whole pies, as well as Wildfire and Osteria and Shaw's. So a lot of our places are doing desserts. If you don't need a turkey or you don't need sides, show up with a dessert. So
I heard a great idea for Thanksgiving this year, because a lot of people, you know, they're just like three or four of them, and it's really hard. I know turkey producers are really worried that they've actually grown too many turkeys and too many big turkeys this year. excuse me, but one of the things that I heard was, okay, there's like four or five of you, skip the turkey and just order, just make or bring in, to your point, like 15 sides. Just eat potatoes and stuffing and candied carrots and, you know, lots of dessert. And who needs protein? You just go one meal without it. Like, what do you think about that?
Well, I don't know about you, but my favorite part about Thanksgiving dinner is it's not the turkey. It's always the stuff that goes around it, the desserts, the appetizers, the stuffing. So, yeah, I completely agree. And I think this year people are, you know, unfortunately, as much as we, you know, would like life to be back to normal, I think we're all realizing that it's going to be a different kind of Thanksgiving. And so to that point, it's, you know, you can kind of make your own experience and mix and match. And I think if you go to lettuce.com, you'll see that, or lely.com, you'll see that there's all sorts of options, both a la carte desserts, full packages.
Yeah.
It kind of runs the gamut.
And I know that you're probably doing a very similar, planning at least, this very similar rollout for Christmas as well, where there'll be lots of sides and different traditional meals and the packaging and all the rest.
I think we're going to be looking for lots of creative ways to help people celebrate all sorts of different holidays.
Which is so nice. Jared Melman is executive partner with Let Us Entertain You Enterprises. Please don't ever take that raspberry pie off of the Shaw's menu for me. I'm just telling you, it'll go down very badly in our house.
It's a staple. It's not going anywhere.
Right. Well, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
We really appreciate it. And a happy early Thanksgiving to you and your family.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.